About midwinter, communities across the country take a head count of the homeless population. It's less a census than a snapshot, and that's why it's called the Point in Time, or PIT, survey. Months go by between the raw count and the released figures, so most areas release them just recently. A quick perusal shows some notable increases. Shasta County up 19% over a year ago. Lane County up 32% over a year ago. Jackson County, Medford in the middle, dropped a hair under 3%. That's, again, a decrease of under 3%. Let's get perspective on the numbers and how they're used. Constance Wilkerson is Jackson County's Continuum of Care Manager. Connie, welcome back to the studio.
Thank you, Jeff. It's nice to be here.
So there are some requirements in the point in time count. Let's start there about why it's done and when it's done.
HUD, which is Housing and Urban Development, requires that every community participate in a point in time count every 2 years. But here in Jackson County, we believe it's important to do the count annually. And the count must occur during the last 10 days of January so that numbers can be compared year to year or every 2 years to every 2 years.
And so it's just a matter of when you choose to do it. I mean, is there any talk of doing a count at a different time of year, perhaps when the weather's warmer, people are sleeping outdoors more, that sort of thing?
We're asked that a lot. We're locked right now into doing it during the last 10 days in January. That's the time period that it happens nationally.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what you're looking at is, was it 2.7% of a decrease in Jackson County? And what's the initial read on that?
We don't think it's an anomaly because we had more volunteers working with us this year during the point in time survey period. Even though everything refers back to a particular night during that week, where were you housed, say, on the 22nd of January? We take the entire week to attend community meals and agencies and community events so that we can survey more individuals. But each time we are at one of those events or at someone's office, we ask where the individuals were housed that particular night. So it all goes back to the same point in time.
Okay, so it's not, you're not asking on Thursday where they're staying tonight. You're asking on Thursday where they were on Tuesday or,
exactly.
Whatever the particular point in time that is chosen is. So talk about the methodology in counting people and how big a crew it takes just to get the people scattered into the field to collect the information.
We had about 40 volunteers that were on the ground. We also had other volunteers that were helping to prepare backpacks as incentives to participate in the count that had essential items like blankets and toiletries and dog food and feminine hygiene products and clothing and gloves and hats and hand warmers. And so that took a particular crew, but about 40 people went out the night of the 22nd to do the actual count along the Greenway and in other areas of known camps and places where people experiencing homelessness were gathering for the night.
So I imagine the process has gotten more refined through time, that people get a better idea of where people are likely to be.
Yes, and we're using a GIS app now that was developed for us by the Rogue County Council of Governments.
Rogue Valley Council of Governments.
Rogue Valley, yeah. Mm-hmm. Rogue Valley Council of Governments, thank you. And that allows us to go out with our cell phones or tablets, and it makes it much easier in the middle of the night to do a count instead of using the paper surveys.
Connie Wilkerson is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, Jackson County's Continuum of Care Manager. We'll talk about what Continuum of Care is, but we're talking primarily about the point in time survey that a lot of communities do on an annual basis. We got some recent numbers back, as I mentioned, from Lane and Shasta counties showing that they're up by double digits. Jackson County is down slightly, 2.7%. You can talk about the methodology and the findings with us and how we're approaching homelessness in this and any community. Join the conversation on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. I guess it hadn't crossed my mind that there are some people who would not particularly want to participate. So the backpacks as incentives. I mean, there's some people who just don't want anything to do with it. Don't bother me. Don't ask me questions.
Of course. And that's a prerogative. And we try to do the survey as part of a conversation and a connection to services.
And so what then if people don't want to participate? Do they go uncounted? Or do you just write down anonymous person Greenway?
Lots of times a person will participate and answer a few questions. And so we use that data that's given to us. And that's why if you're looking at particular questions, sometimes we have 700 that have answered one question and 400 that have answered a question that's later on in the survey.
Okay. One of the things that I notice is that obviously months go on between the counting portion and the announcement of the actual numbers. What is being done with the raw information in that time?
HUD actually doesn't allow us to release the numbers right away. Mm-hmm. We have to submit it to HUD by the 1st of April. And then they are doing their analysis there at a federal level. And OHCS, which is Oregon Housing and Community Services, is doing analysis at the state level. And then we're allowed to release it during the summer.
So there's no particular mystery then, it sounds like. You really know what the count is probably by the latest, the middle of February or something?
Yes, mm-hmm. That's true.
All right. So, but you don't get to release them until now. So is there anything that comes back from either HUD or Oregon Housing and Community Services about, you know, you need to revise this or what's the methodology here or explain yourself or anything like that?
Yes, and that's part of the reason that HUD doesn't want the data released. They contact us and with any questions they have, and we have to confirm whether the numbers are accurate or not.
So let's talk about the results then. We're talking, and the number again is 712, is that right?
That's correct.
As opposed to 732 from the year before. So it's a slight drop again, 2.7%. As you look at the numbers, does it seem like a real reduction, or could it be just statistical noise, you know, something having to do with, you know, the night of the week you chose and what the weather was like, something like that?
We don't think it's a statistical anomaly, because we had a concerted effort to cover all areas of the county more so than any other year. And during the week of the count, we also went out to Shady Cove and Butte Falls and held community fairs with our other social service agencies so that people could connect into vital services in conjunction to the point in time count. So since we hit a wider geographical area and had more volunteers, we really feel like this count is as accurate as a snapshot can be.
So let's talk about the subcategories here. Chronically homeless appears to be the biggest single chunk as you look at different populations, you know, chronically homeless versus chronically homeless family versus homeless with severe mental illness. And there's several other categories here. But as I look at the charts in particular, it looks like chronically homeless is your biggest single population segment.
That is correct. Our goal is to make episodes of homelessness brief, rare, and non-reoccurring. And so we especially want to work with those who meet the definition of chronically homeless to address their needs and to see what are their barriers to housing so that we can help these individuals and families become stably housed. And so to be chronically homeless, an individual has to have had an episode of homelessness for at least 12 consecutive months and have a disabling condition or have endured 4 episodes of homelessness in 3 years and also have a disabling condition. And so there's a lot going on in that individual's life, and we want to address all the risk factors.
So what you mentioned disabling condition. So this is apparently one of the things that often can lead to chronic homelessness?
Yes, that can be a developmental disability. It can be a chronic health concern. It can be a substance use disorder, severe mental illness.
All right, so it's some complication, I'm saying, other than just can't afford housing. This is, you know, chronically homeless usually has a complicating factor that goes with it.
Yes, and the disabling conditions really does complicate a person's life, especially when they don't have a reliable place to sleep.
So then, is this the category that is the greatest focus of the efforts of the continuum of care in Jackson County?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. So let's start off there with what the continuum of care is. You manage it, but it's affiliated with a whole bunch of other agencies, groups, organizations, right?
It is. We restructured in January of 2018, so we're about a year and a half in, and we have 109 community groups working with us now.
Okay, that's a whole bunch. So, but what's, and what are the general efforts of the continuum of care about? I mean, continuum suggests that you take care of people in a bunch of different aspects of their lives.
We do. It's working with people who are currently unsheltered, meaning that they're living in a place not meant for human habitation, like a car or a tent. We help them also through seasonal shelter placement, emergency shelter placement, transitional living programs, permanent supportive housing, all the way to the point where they're permanently housed.
And so what approaches seem to make the greatest dent, and let's talk specifically about homelessness for people who are chronically homeless. What are the approaches that seem to be providing the greatest benefit?
The housing first model, provides the greatest benefit because it doesn't have a lot of requirements for the individual to be housed. It's a low barrier admission policy.
And it truly is, when you say low barrier, so if you're still, you've got a substance abuse problem, that's okay. I mean, all these things are secondary to let's get you under a roof.
That's correct. We really have very few housing first models here in the Valley. Many of them do have admission requirements. Some of that is dependent upon their funding source or their philosophy. But if they're truly a housing first model, then they do have services available to the client, but they allow the client to be housed first and then to avail himself or herself of those services and treatments.
Connie Wilkerson, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, Jackson County's Continuum of Care Manager. We're talking about Jackson County's point-in-time survey that shows a slight reduction in the homeless population, which people in the Continuum of Care are reading as a sign of success. You can join the conversation on the Exchange at 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. You said there are not a lot of housing first models in greater Jackson County, and is that simply because the housing market is so tight? It's just that hard to find places where you can have people be housed?
I think it's because it's a paradigm shift, and many organizations are trying to find the way to become housing first, and they're transitioning their policies.
So and then are there other services that get put into the mix for somebody in a housing first program? I mean, are there opportunities for getting off substance abuse if that is one of the issues, that sort of thing?
Yes. And so it's generally a multi-agency program. One agency will do the actual housing. Other agencies will provide mental health services or primary health services or connection to life skills or job skills.
And so are you able to – is there more capacity in this system for trying to absorb homeless people and make them not homeless anymore? I mean, you can make one assumption about the numbers, and it's a reckless assumption perhaps on my part, but that this indicates that you have an ability to take more people into the system, and that's why you've got a slight reduction in numbers.
I think it's also because the agencies are working together, and everyone is seeing an opening as potentially for the person that has the highest needs instead of just trying to house their particular client. So we're pooling our resources in a different way now. We still very much need to increase our inventory.
So across the 109 different agencies you mentioned that are participating in the continuum of care, are they all familiar enough with what the offerings are across the system to know when they see somebody and they present with this set of issues, where they need to go, who they're going to take them to?
We can always improve upon that, but I believe that we've made great inroads in the past year and a half so that people are aware of how to access the system.
All right. So as we talk about chronically homeless as the largest single chunk of the population showing up in the point-in-time count for Jackson County in late January of 2019, there is often the opinion I hear expressed anyway that some of the people who appear homeless just choose to live cheaply, drop out of society, resist standard living arrangements. By these numbers, at least in January, that does not appear to be a large subset of what you're dealing with here.
It is not. There is a small amount of room on the federal form where continuums of care can add their own local questions. And various years we've asked, is it a lifestyle choice? And we often receive less than 5% who are saying that homelessness is my choice, and this is where I want to remain.
All right, so less than 5%, and then of the chronically homeless, I mean, how big is that a chunk of the population?
That's a great question. We haven't broken it down that way before.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, of the, let's see, I'm trying to look at the numbers on the fly here.
Oh, or do you mean?
Yeah, in the point-in-time survey.
Yes. Yeah. Well, so in 2018, one out of every three individuals that participated in our count met the definition of chronically homeless, whereas this year it was 1 in 4. So we're very pleased to see that reduction because it means those with the highest barriers to being stably housed are becoming part of the program and agencies are working collaboratively to address their needs.
So what kinds of places are there? I mean, when we get right down to the nitty-gritty rubber meets the road sort of thing, what are the facilities that are there for people who are chronically homeless?
Beginning in the fall, we're hoping to launch our emergency shelter in Medford. That'll be a community-wide effort. The Community Action Agency, Access, has purchased the building. and another agency, Rogue Retreat, will be administering that. But it will also be a hub for services. So partners will come together and come up with creative solutions for particular clients' needs.
And where will the shelter be?
It'll be in downtown Medford.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the site work is already going on, I assume?
It is.
Okay.
And then in addition to that, we have seasonal shelters like Ashland Winter Shelter that uses the coordinated entry process through the continuum of care to do placements. We'll also use that in our emergency shelter. And then many programs also have a transitional living program that helps an individual transition into stability. And so those programs can last 18 to 24 months. And then after that, individuals can be helped with rental assistance and security deposits so that they can then live independently. And if their needs are too great, if they need other support systems, then there are some permanent supportive housing units available.
And how many shelter beds will the New Medford shelter?
52. Offer?
52. That's a pretty good number for all at once, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Grab your headphones. We got a phone call I want to put on. Constance Wilkerson is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, Jackson County's Continuum of Care Manager. We're talking about homelessness in numbers in particular, because the starting point of this is the Point in Time survey taken in late January. Results delivered recently that show a 2.7% decrease in Jackson County, contrasted with 19% more in Shasta County, 32% more in Lane County. Questions, comments from you, welcome on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 on the phone. By email, it's jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a call from David in California, big state. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange, David.
Morning. I'm down on the highway near Shasta.
Okay.
Hey, a couple of things. I was going to ask if your guest is familiar with the famous 1776 founding father, Ben Franklin, wrote an autobiography, and in it he describes how America was very prosperous until the British figured out how we were structured. And then he describes that because he told them about our prosperity, there became this enormous poverty and this enormous homelessness. And I'm wondering if your guest is familiar with Ben Franklin's autobiography in this text or in this context. And the other thing is, in a similar vein, in 2007, 2008, there was the famous subprime banking scandal where as many as 40 million homes were foreclosed on. 40 million Americans lost their homes. And I'm wondering if that factors in the current homeless census.
All right. A couple of interesting questions there, David. Thank you for calling in from the highway. Thanks for pulling over. We want to make sure people are safe when they call the Jefferson Exchange. So, the Benjamin Franklin part, a little esoteric, but does it register with you in any way, Connie, about that?
I have not read that autobiography.
All right. Let's talk about the subprime part of what David was asking, though, about whether that does, in fact, continue to have a bearing on who is homeless now.
It does. We look at our data, and many people have been homeless for 7 or more years, so we're getting back to the point when people were losing their homes. And when you have a financial hardship like that, it's impactful for many, many years.
Although, you know, honestly, when I looked at it, it's really interesting because you show the root causes of homelessness, and you ask this of people in an open-ended question, not multiple choice.
Exactly.
So they got to say why they were homeless, and you can lump some of them together. And I look at of the 10 blocks of categories you have here, 3 of the 10 are money-related. But when you group the rest, what stands out as the most frequent cause of people ending up homeless, the precipitating factor?
A lot of them can be lumped into discord, breakdown of primary relationships. Even though that's one of the top four, it also was repeated in slightly different ways in the open-ended question.
So it's really about getting divorced or having conflicts within the household, domestic abuse. These all end up in that same relationship area?
They do.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So what does that say then about the kinds of services that that you might consider in terms of homelessness prevention, or are you even getting to the point of homelessness prevention with the continuum of care?
It is a goal. Mm-hmm. Our primary goal is to end homelessness in Jackson County. I think it speaks to all the stressors of everyday living and mental health issues, behavioral health issues. All of those need to be addressed, and we have great partners here in the community that are working towards those goals.
It seems like one of the things that probably needs to get said fairly often, though, as you look particularly at the subpopulation comparison, and all the point-in-time survey stuff is available online. I printed mine in black and white. Connie has hers in color. But it's really interesting material to look at, however you look at it, the fact being that there are very many different subgroups here. And so people thinking of the homeless aren't really getting the full picture.
That's correct. When we look at the precipitating reasons for the most recent episode of homelessness, it's job loss, discord, breakdown of relationships, and economic strain, and eviction. And these are things that all of us can relate to.
Indeed. So as you look at the landscape in Jackson County anyway, where you're working, I mean, what would you say is the greatest single need in getting people to permanent housing?
High rent cost, because when
that's
we look,
the greatest barrier. Okay.
I really think it is, and availability of units to rent. Those two kind of go hand in hand. And when we ask people what was their income stream for the month, the majority of them had between $700 and $1,000 a month of income, and the average one bedroom rents for $950. So you can see that $700 to $1,000 a month doesn't go very far here.
Indeed, it does not. Okay, so a lot of stuff to take in here. We're not going to get it all in this segment. So Constance Wilkerson, Connie, thanks so much for joining us from the Continuum of Care in Jackson County. Appreciate the information. Again, all the results are available online. We link to it at our website at jeffexchange.org. This is the Jefferson Exchange. We'll take a short break.